Yo. 1, 2, 1, 2. What it do? It's your boy Skeeter Steve, and welcome to another episode of Lace Rhymes, where we're giving it to you for the latest and greatest in hip hop culture and sneaker culture. Yes, yes, yes. We are back again, though, but now we got a special guest in the building. It's the one and only Big Chubbs from the Dog Money Podcast. What's up?
What up, my brother? I will do my signature first.
Right. Yeah, man. Absolutely, man. This is great, man. I'm glad that you're here. So, you know, you go ahead and shoot the breeze with us and whatnot, man, though. But before we get into it, man, how was your week, though, man? Like, what you get into, man?
Before we get into it, first of all, I want to say thank you for having me on the show.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
You know, it's been a long time coming.
Oh, yes.
The week was cool, man. It's been a great weekend. I was able to take my family to Disneyland for, I guess you'll say, our long-awaited Christmas trip.
And right.
It was everything that we expected and more.
Look, I can't complain, man. But, hey, you a strong man, because I know Disneyland is taxing nowadays, bro.
They taxing that. My feet still hurting. Well, I was walking 7 miles a day up in that joint.
Oh, man. I believe it, Brody. I believe it, man. Like, for real, man. That's why I'm all like, it's been a minute since I've been to Disneyland, though. But, I mean, I can't wait to go back, though. But I'm waiting until once Universal finish at Nintendo Land. So, yeah.
I mean, that's going to be lit.
That's going to be super, super lit, man, though, man. But I mean, like, for my week, I can't complain. Just pretty much just been chilling. As y'all know, if y'all don't know, last time we had talked, I had got fired from the punk ass school that I was at.
How you get fired on your day off? Crap.
Yeah, man, but I'm back at another school, but
he was
now
out here stealing boxes.
Right. But I'm at another joint that's just way out there, like way further than where I was at, though. So of course y'all know it's winter break, the kids are out, so I mean, I don't go back until after New Year. So all I just been really doing, just been big chilling, you know, watching all the sports and keeping up, like, you know, with hip hop, and as we come towards the end of the year. And we always know sometimes at the end of the year, it could be a hit or a miss. So, but I'm excited about on what we're going to cover throughout this episode. So, I mean, it's very, very exciting, though, man. So,
blessings,
I mean,
some blessings to the new job, man.
So oh, man. Yeah, man. Thank you. Thank you, brother. I appreciate that. All right, man. Let's get into it. Y'all already know. Before we get all into our craziness and our whatnot, though, you already know every time when we break down honorable mentions, we always give our flowers to the people who's doing stuff for the culture and people that's, you know, that may not have a name and just doing stuff, great stuff for the community. Period. Though, so before we get into our commentary of the culture, we just did our classic corner on him last week, Lil Wayne the Carter II. So now
Yeah, that's my favorite album.
Me too.
By the way,
me too. And I said that I'm all like, I get
his.
His. Yeah, I understand why some people may pick the first one or the third one, right. But Carter II is by far his best work.
That's his best.
Absolutely though. But yeah, we talk about no other than Lil Wayne. Lil Wayne rewards 150 New Orleans kids with Wheezy Christmas party and with gifts. Lil Wayne made holiday season much more special for a group of teens in his hometown, New Orleans. Wayne and the Young Money president, Mac Bain, teamed up with Wilson for a Wheezy Christmas to spread holiday cheer for 150 teens at a local Dave & Buster's for a day of fun and arcade games. Each kid was gifted with sports equipment of their choice. I want to personally wish you all a Merry Christmas, Wheezy said in a video towards the children. And y'all all know I love sports and I love it from the depth of me. So hit my people up at Wilson Sporting Goods. They give you a gift, the game. I specifically picked out everything myself, and I hope you guys love and enjoy everything. Have an amazing holiday. You know what? I'm not mad at that. You
know?
Yeah.
Can't be mad at that.
Yeah, man, because, I mean, you know, he always giving back to his city and the place that he's from, though. You know, and like what we said, he's a huge sport head, though, but Wayne, I love you, but you do need to change your team because Green Bay ain't Green Bay no more. I mean,
Green Bay
ain't Green Bay no more. I mean, I'm just saying.
Hey, but in the news of what he did,
oh yes,
like I think that's big for artists, especially at that level.
Yes, absolutely.
Give back to their community.
Absolutely.
You can easily forget about your community.
Uh-huh.
I feel like there's a lot of people in our community in Vegas that does a lot of giving back.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's some that I won't mention on this show that don't give back or that you don't really hear
for
years.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, from New Orleans, for him to go back, for him to give back to the kids that are in need in need of hope, that's a big thing right there.
Oh, man, absolutely. So you already know here at Lace Rounds, we always salute the culture and the people that doing things outside the culture and just for the community. So, Wayne, you are definitely saluted, man. Like, for real, you are loved here at Lace Rounds. All right, let's get into it. Commentary for the culture, man. So, first up, we got the OG. OG of all OG. Snoop Dogg.
Hey, don't mind.
Hey, who that divin' in the Cadillac?
Snoop Dogg.
Hey.
Don't mind my...
S-N-Double-D-O-Double-G-Z. Hey, that album his, still
that's
slap.
That's one of his best songs to me, bro.
Yeah, yeah, no.
Timberlake killed the production.
Oh, yeah, he
joint.
Did. He did, though, but... Snoop was pretty much, you know, explaining his motivation after to keep working after 30 years of success. Snoop Dogg has enjoyed a Hall of Fame rap career over the last three decades, but he's still hungry for more success despite his longevity. The West Coast icon was recently on another podcast show called the TFN, which he explained what exactly keeps him striving to continue taking his decorated career to new heights even in his 50s. Snoop said, "I hate losing. I love to win, and I'm a sore loser. If it ain't winning, I'm losing. There ain't no in-between. So if I'm working and hopping and bopping, I'm with it." Snoop explained, "You know it's beautiful when sometimes you sit back and be in the studio working on a song, then a commercial comes on, and I'm on the commercial, and then walk out the hallway and then hear me on the radio." He continued, "That's work. It don't make me want to say, 'Let's go on vacation. I'm doing well.' It makes me want to say, 'I need more. I'm hungry and I want more.'" And you know what, though? I'm not mad at that, though, because just last week, I was just giving another rapper his flowers that's from his area, Vince Staples. And Vince Staples is now like, always been a great artist, but now you're seeing him work. He's about to be on Abbott Elementary. They're playing this song in the Acura commercial. So this is what Snoop talking about outside the music. When you're working outside the music, we're seeing you on commercials. We're seeing you on different platforms, on TV shows, movies, small role movies here and there. So the work definitely doesn't stop. And I mean, that's just as a creative, period.
I think it's important to step outside of that box of just being a rapper.
Yes, you know, yes,
just
yes,
being
yes.
An athlete.
Yes,
just being a this, because just being that is only going to take you so far.
Oh yeah, yeah.
As a executive, as a CEO, as a hip hop entrepreneur, anything that they've been in. Snoop Dogg has been in the game so long, like literally, this man been rapping since we was in Pampers. Like,
that's a fact.
Like, literally.
That's a fact. No, that's a fact.
He's been rapping.
That's a fact.
So it's only a natural progression to take your "I'm just a rapper" to the next level, because now you have to think about legacy, and now you have to think about what's next for myself, what's next for the artist behind me. Because once I'm finally done, whenever that is, this man might be 60 still rapping, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
But when he's finally done, what is he going to leave behind? Hopefully he's leaving behind a
legacy
of more rappers to follow in his footstep to take that on. And for him himself, he's a grandpa now.
Yeah.
You know, so he has to leave something behind for his grandkids.
Oh, no, so yeah, absolutely. I'm with you on that. Well said, brother. Well said. And then just not only that, though, too, he helped and set the blueprint for, you know, for his other sons to thrive. Because if y'all don't know, his other son, he has a taco food truck. Nice. That's out there. That's out there in the city. That's moving. That's mobile. So it's just all like you putting others in position to win and to do other things. So, but also like what we said, like Snoop. He's everywhere. Martha Stewart, the Corona commercial, just did a movie with Jamie Foxx on Netflix, you know, doing small TV show appearance here and there. I mean, the man doesn't stop working, and for us, that's creatives, like for real, he inspired me to do that because, you know, when people, you know, you work, but not only that, though, too, you really... And age-wise, you really don't start seeing the fruits sometimes when you're in your 30s, your mid-30s, or even your 40s. So I tell people out there, don't quit, because look at Virgil from All Off-White. He didn't get his opportunity. He was 42. Jerry Lorenzo, 41. A lot of these people.
Think about that. A lot of the rappers, a lot of your big ups in the world, your Oprah Winfrey's, your Jay-Z's. Jay-Z was more late 20s, but a lot of rappers... A lot of successful people don't really start taking off until they 30s.
And y'all know here at Lace Rhymes, y'all know I'm a huge Kendrick Lamar stan. But when it comes to inspiration and working hard, working motivation, next to Kendrick, I love 2 Chainz, because 2 Chainz, he started off, he had to rebrand himself. And when he rebranded himself, his first album came out in 2012, and he was 35 when his first album came out. Like, for real. Yeah. So, I mean, that's just real. So, I mean, hard work never go unnoticed, man. So, Snoop, man, thank you for continuing to do the blueprint and inspiring people like us, man, for
just
real.
Just on that, hard work never goes unnoticed. It's just never give up, because your time is when God says it's your time. So
that's a bar. That's a bar. You know,
man, keep it going until once he says, all right, here goes the green light.
Right.
There you go. No. You never know where that goes. So
absolutely.
Keep grinding.
Absolutely. All right, next up, as usual, wouldn't be right if we seen some fuck shit going on. So, of course.
Right after we said God.
Yeah. Hey, hey!
As Cameron would say, "Hey, man, that's a bad word." Don't you say?
But no, it's only right we get into it. None other than Sauce Walker. Sauce Walker and several members of his crew was arrested on RICO charges. So here's my issue with this. You know, Sauce Walker, just about a couple of days ago, went on his Instagram Live talking about Gunna, how Gunna's a snitch, this and that, just rumbling his mouth about Gunna. Then a couple of days later, you get hit with a RICO charge in your own city.
You get hit with
a RICO. Right. You get hit with a RICO charge. Yeah, man. So I mean, it's bad, though. So as Fox 26 in Houston have reported, he is the latest one at the center of the RICO investigation, with him and several other members from his crew being arrested on racketeering charges and for various crimes following by the investigation conducted by the FBI and the Houston Police Department. Attorney Alomar said the crimes included drug trafficking, possession of a Glock switch, and being a felon in possession of a firearm. Total of 14 people were arrested as part of this investigation. I'm going to just say this. God don't like ugly, bro. He don't like ugly. He don't, because
stupid does.
Because like, I mean, he literally went on Instagram with just talking about Gunna and his situation and wanted to call him out as a snitch. Oh, the RICO this, RICO that, not knowing that they were already building a case on you, bro.
Problem is half of them already snitching on themselves. So it's like,
yeah,
who's really the snitch?
Like, that's a fact. Like,
you already snitching on yourself, bro. Like, come on, man.
Yeah, man. No, yeah, man. That
get
was
smarter.
Yeah,
get smarter.
Smarter, yeah. No, that's for real, for real. And like when that happened, I was just like,
take it off.
That's what you get, bro. Like, for real.
Why even put this on your social media? Sometimes I feel like. And I'm gonna go back.
Uh-huh.
Social media has literally ruined a lot of people's lives.
Yeah.
Because you put everything on social media.
Yeah, you do.
If I get a new watch, oh, let me floss this watch on social media. I got a new Glock.
Right.
Let me floss this new Glock on social media. I got this. I got that. Number one, you got people that's really checking you out, trying to see where you get this from.
Right.
You got other people that's checking you out, trying to see how they can get it from you.
That part.
It's like, learn sometimes to just be a little bit more discreet.
Sweet. Yeah, and be in a, cut. You don't even need the
Need to know you got that. Man, if you look at most of these billionaires, they come out here in the most discreet outfit, come out with a fire white t-shirt. It might be from like
Walmart
Polo or Armani's, whatever they call it. But you can't tell.
They got on some regular jeans,
some cool shoes.
No, because they discreet, and they're not attracting attention to them to themselves, man. So, I mean, I get it. Like,
think about it. Like, just like that movie with Denzel. Why I can't think of the movie with Jay-Z did the soundtrack.
American Gangster.
So, American Gangster. As soon as Denzel started getting flashy is when he started getting that trouble.
Yeah, and
same thing in life.
Yeah, and another movie that, you know, I'll compare it to is one of my favorites is The Goodfellas. Man. When they did that heist, and when Robert De Niro went to the bar, he saw a boy bought the Cadillac and the fur for his wife. He might like, dude, he telling him, why are you spending this money? Why? Like, why?
What are you doing?
No, man, but yeah, man. Sauce, man. Get you know, I'm keeping positive vibes, so, but, I mean, hey, man.
Get it together, brother.
All right, before we get into our out-of-pocket segment, last but not least, this one threw me for a loop. And this one definitely had me.
Oh, my God.
Like, for real.
This one is like a reality TV show.
Right, right. Like, no, yeah, for real. No, it really is. Bow Wow. Bow Wow responded to what Jermaine Dupri has said, and I'm gonna tell you what Jermaine Dupri has said. During a recent interview, Jermaine Dupri has claimed that he created 106 in Park as a vehicle for his social def signing protege to counter MTV's TRL. During his interview during the Goats and Underdogs podcast last week, JD has presented the idea for youth-oriented video countdown show to BET, then Stephen, president of programming, Stephen G. Hill. The Atlanta mogul felt like black artists, namely Bow Wow, were not getting the same love from TRL as some of their pop counterparts. 106 in Park was created by me, Jermaine Dupri said, and I created the show for Bow Wow. I was watching MTV, and MTV had TRL. And they were catering to NSYNC and were catering to Backstreet Boys and anything white that was coming out of pop. They were allowing these kids to scream and holler, and I was like, yo, we don't have that. Where's the black kids that love music? So why not have a show like that? He continued. So I called Stephen Hill, and it was like, yo, I got an artist. We need to make a show like TRL, and what's the artist? And I said Bow Wow. And when Bow Wow got a hold of that, Bow Wow was calling Cap. He was saying, hey, you didn't create that show. We know Stephen Hill created that show, but I benefited off this. Now, I'm going to say this. Is it believable? A little bit, though. But for the people, you know, that was born in the 80s and a little bit of the 90s. And I'm just going to say this. I'd watch both. I watched 106 in Park and TRL.
Absolutely.
Yeah, TRL were playing videos, Jennifer Lopez, and they were playing videos like Ja Rule and them too. And not only that, though, I remember when NSYNC made the countdown on 106 in Park. They were in the top 10. So I'm all like, you just can't say this was specifically for Bow Wow and for the black kids because it was both. And then not for nothing, when B2K came out, B2K was on TRL too.
Hey,
I mean, I'm just saying. If I'm wrong, y'all let me know I'm wrong though. But hey, we grew up in this time, and I know what I saw on both shows on TRL and 106 in Park. But yes, we know Bow Wow did have 106 in Park on a chokehold for sure. And not only that, breaking other artists though, but trying to say that you created that just for him, bro. I'm not buying that. I can't.
Okay, so now let's take the other perspective.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Now you gave the you not buying it. Now let's think about it like this. Stephen Hill.
Uh-huh.
Right? Stephen Hill was with the culture. He had the, technically, he had the money to help build the culture.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. So he was the foundational, I guess you'll say, what is that? A booster.
Yeah.
So he put the money up.
Uh-huh.
There's no way. I haven't really looked into Stephen Hill like that.
Right.
I've never seen Stephen Hill credited with anything music-wise.
Yeah.
So to say that JD didn't have some kind of say in, hey, let me throw this idea to you. This is what it's for. You know what I mean? This can help it take off to the next level.
Right.
Just by paying attention to this. But let me give you a different perspective for our culture. Now, I can see that too.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because Stephen Hill, I mean, the first time that he really had a chance to really do something, he did what? Gave away our whole show to the man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He literally gave the show away. Like, sold. BET ain't been the same.
Since then.
So
since
it's
then.
Like, he had to get this. He had to get these ideas from someone.
Yeah.
Now, we don't know the backstory.
Right.
For JD to say, and JD had a lot of, JD has had a lot of influence in the game. Personally, I met JD when I was working at Gallery Nightclub.
I remember that.
I was the security guard in the booth with him, walked him to the car and everything, all that. One of the coolest dudes I ever met in my life.
Gotcha.
Hands down. Was super respectful. And I could see, you know what I mean, everything. But besides that, I don't know. Bow Wow, I don't know what this roller coaster is.
Because he do be having his tantrums.
And with JD,
yeah.
Like, they literally on a roller coaster ride.
All the time. It never fails.
Maybe Bow Wow just got to address his real daddy issues or something like that. Because, I mean, JD is like a father figure too.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on there. But Bow Wow got to get it together. Because
right.
You can't keep biting the hand that
feeds you.
Like,
I'm with you,
man,
on that.
This man helped get you to what you are.
Yeah, like, because literally. Snoop and Dre couldn't do nothing with them. Yeah, they couldn't.
And he was with Snoop first.
Yeah.
And he couldn't do nothing with him. So you got this dude that literally said, hey, let me give you this idea.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, his name was Bow Wow. Mr. 106
Park. Yeah.
So it's not far-fetched to think that, hey, this was kind of tailored for Bow Wow or for these kind of, you know, for our culture.
Yeah.
So I can't say that, yo, that's all cap.
And that's, right.
You know, Bow Wow be Bow Wow.
Yeah, he do.
That's my
do.
Boy.
me too. Me too, though. But hey, he be having his moments where I'm
Bow
like,
Wow,
bro,
you
need to chill. You need to
but
chill,
it's like,
bro.
Come on, man. You gotta get it together with this man. I don't know what it is with them two, but it be a roller coaster ride.
Oh, no, yeah. All the time, bro.
You know, so
all the time.
I can't say that JD didn't pitch this idea to Stephen Hill for it to be specifically for Bow Wow.
Mm-hmm.
However, if he gave him that idea, the idea went from specifically for Bow Wow to something even bigger than that.
Yeah.
You gotta think of everything that came with that. We had the basement at the time. We had 106
Cedars World.
Hits from the street.
It was a movement. It was a whole movement.
To live in that time was crazy.
Crazy, bro.
It was a time to be alive. I used to have to sneak to watch a lot of that stuff because I lived with my grandma at the time and she was not having it, bro.
She wasn't playing, bro.
She was like, don't you put the... She actually went so far to block BET off of our... like, yo... You know, she blocked BET, but I could watch TRL because she didn't know about TRL.
All right, right.
But blocked BET.
Right.
That's crazy. But yeah, man, I don't know, man.
Yeah, man, I'm with you on that, man.
I can see it.
Yeah, man, so, I mean, Bow, man, y'all need to start with this back and forth.
Get it together.
That's more of the story.
Get it together.
Right.
Get it
right,
together.
For real. All right, before we get into Can I Kick It, you already know we always have our out-of-pocket segment for, you know, stuff that goes on and that was just crazy, dumb, and stupid for outlandish. Or in the words of SZA.
I be so sick of you, nigga.
Yes, for real.
I be so sick of you, nigga.
From one dad to another. from the same era to the next.
Right.
Ain't that wild?
Right. Master P and Romeo.
I be so sick of you, nigga.
Make him say
Man, so Master P says he won't tolerate the disrespect as he hits back at Romeo Miller. Master P and his son Romeo Miller are currently going through a family dispute with Spill over social media earlier this week. Romeo had called out the No Limit Records founder over his loss over his sister, where he condemned a certain father for allegedly neglecting his own child's mental health struggles, yet publicity addressing a stranger's similar issue. Today, I was at a bullet point, Romeo wrote. I've seen this man avoid his own children's struggle with suicide and depression and post another man who passed away that he doesn't even know. Y'all idols be lost. Y'all better stop following the blind. But Master P went on social media and said, hey, man, like, if you have an issue with me, we could talk about this about family. We don't need the whole world and everything. No, he was talking. And the most powerful thing that Master P has said, and I'm not going to lie, I'm with it. He was like, Romeo, you lost a sister, but I lost a daughter. It's totally two different things. And it's not the same. Yeah, you may lost a sister, but he lost a daughter, bro. He lost a daughter. And then you're saying, oh, you never saw royalties from your rap snacks or from your albums and this and that. Yo, I'm going to just call a spade for a spade right now. May get some slack, but I don't care. Romeo, you was doing your thing, bro. I'm going to just keep it real with you. You wasn't popping like that like Bow Wow. We going to be honest. You wasn't popping like that.
Okay.
He wasn't.
So wait a minute. I'm gonna give you the other side of the coin, just because it can't just be. First of all, to address the initial issue,
yeah, bro,
which was all based around the death of Twitch, right? So grief is grief.
Absolutely.
I don't grieve the same way you grieve. Mm-hmm. He ain't gonna grieve the same way he grieve. Just because that's his daughter, that's his sister. Who knows? The relationships are going to be different.
Yeah.
So grief is grief at the end of the day. You can't tell somebody how to grieve. Past the grief issue, you know, I wish that a lot of people would handle things communication-wise, one-on-one. Don't put it in the media and things like this. Sometimes it has to come to light, and that's unfortunate.
Yeah.
However, with that being said, you know, him saying, hey, I'm at a boiling point. I was looking it up. I was like, while we was getting ready for the show and everything, I looked up and saw that actually Rap Snacks actually just now started to pay him. So he ain't capping on that end.
No, yeah, now, and I'm with that. I'm with you on that.
To
I'm
get with you
on
where that. You said Romeo wasn't popping like that. Real talk, Bow Wow had it on lock. However, Romeo was right there too, bro. And growing up in Mississippi too, because we listen to a lot of New Orleans.
Okay,
heavy New Orleans. We
listen to
Cash Money.
Right.
We listen to No Limit.
Right.
Bro, when you say Rap Snacks, I grew up on them Rap Snacks. Saw Rap Snacks in a little corner store where we can get the little country store right there. Grab them Rap Snacks for 25 cents, 50 cents, whatever it was at the time. Romeo has literally been doing a really good job as an adulting. I can actually say that his transition, him and Bow Wow, not to compare, but him and Bow Wow, they have transitioned really well into adulthood from child star rappers.
Okay, you know? Okay.
But with the issue being with Master P, the one thing that I don't really agree with when it comes to the older generation of adults, of parents, is that they like to shun down our feelings. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm with that.
You don't have no way to feel like that because I took care of you. Nigga, I didn't ask you to bring me into this world, so that's your responsibility to take care of me.
That's just
true. At the end of the day.
This is true.
If you out here hustling and you out here, you got to get me these, you got to get me this juice. You got to get me this milk. You got to get me this and that. That's your responsibility as a parent.
Mm-hmm.
So that, take it as it is. You the one decided to bring me into this world. So anything extra, yeah, now I can work for it. However, if I work for it, give me mine.
Okay, that's fair. Now I'm a twist it on the other end too as well. I'm a twist it on the other end too as well. Two. Okay. I sense, like what you said, mm-hmm. he made some good transitions, but also too, what I'm noticing from him, I'm sensing a little bit of entitlement from him too. You can't get mad because the way how things are planning out and going out for you, because not for nothing, Master P was right. He built this from the ground up. He came for nothing. And what a lot of people don't know his story, he built this off of a $10,000 insurance policy from his grandparents.
Absolutely.
Let's just be real with that. And then just not only that, though, too, on the business aspect, he did the best that he could to promote and do for his son. But when his son had turned 18, hey, I got to let you spread your wings and fly. You went to USC for a little bit. That didn't work out for you. You did the whole little ICDC college commercials. That didn't work out for you.
He got some kind of brand from it.
Yeah. Then you're doing Growing Up Hip Hop. You left the show. Now you're coming back on the show to do Growing Up Hip Hop. And I get it. I sense your frustration with your father, but also, too, this is not a way to do it, bro. And I feel like when you was putting it out there on social media, you're looking for some type of attention. Like, and I get it. There's different ways to grieve, and some people crave attention in different ways, too. I'm with you on that, though. But I just feel like you trying to shun him and trying to make your father a bad man and, like, trying to put him down like that, it wasn't cool. Because not for nothing. The same daddy that you talking about was the same daddy who helped rescue Snoop Dogg from his situation from death row. Don't get it twisted.
Before we go too far. Now, before we get too far into that. Now, as far as his dad starting from nothing. Absolutely. His dad started from nothing. Like I said, again, I grew up down south.
Yeah.
For his dad to start from nothing, that's an absolute. But ain't that your job as a man? Ain't that your job? Ain't that
this
your
is
job?
True.
That's
this
your
is
job. True. Your job is to build legacy for the next.
Yeah.
So if he's a little bit entitlement, I take that back. If he's a little bit entitled, we got to turn that mirror back to Master P and say, what did you do to make him feel entitled? What didn't you do to make him work harder for that?
Yeah.
You know, however, I did see on Romeo's post, a couple of posts, he did go out there and say, hey, you know what I mean? I love my dad to no other means, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We just having it out.
Right.
Sometimes, you know, stuff get out of hand.
Yeah.
And, you know, in this age, I could block you off my phone. I could do this. I could do that. I don't have to see you at all. And the only way that I'm going to get this across is to put it out there.
And for me, I feel like sometimes, even as people, and I'm just going to say this, mm-hmm. despite how people feel, mm-hmm. I feel like that's so whack. Maybe I'm still on old-fashioned values. If you have a problem or issue with somebody, it doesn't take that much for you to call that person. It doesn't take that much, hey, let's go sit down somewhere and meet and hash this out. By you blocking a person, I feel like this. You're making matters worse because either way, somebody is feeling guilty.
And at the end of the day, it's on both parties.
Parties, yes.
Communication is the key to everything. Now, how you communicate, how you going to communicate through this issue is going to be the most important at the end of the day. I too personally say, nah, leave it. I don't like to put nothing out there
for
nobody to be reading. I don't want my personal life out there for everybody to scrutinize, because at the end of the day, you family. So if me and you have an issue, right? Me and you have an issue, and I air you out, and behind closed doors, we got it straight, right?
Mm-hmm.
All everybody is going to remember is me and you having an issue. And they're going to hate you or hate me because now they done chose sides.
Yep.
And we done already got it together.
Yeah, we done so already hashed it out.
That's the one reason why I personally would rather just say, hey, keep everything keep everything in-house. Let's communicate as right. men, as family, as friends, as,
right.
as whatever this relationship is.
Right.
Let's communicate and let's talk about it and let's say, hey, this is where we at. Because so many things really do get taken out of context when you're texting, when you're calling on the phone. Sometimes it's important to see that person eye to eye so you can feel what they're saying, hear what they're saying, and you can understand where they're coming
ooh,
from.
Ooh, you dropping bars right now.
I ain't out here trying
hey, to. Hey, you dropping bars right now. No, for real, though. No, but I'm with you on that. Going back again, what we said, moral of the story,
yeah.
get it together.
Get it together.
Get it together.
Like, get it together.
Get it together, man. No, yeah, man. So, I mean, Romeo, Master P, man, y'all done so much for the culture, man. So, I mean, y'all go ahead and please get that together.
Make them say on together. Throw some new, no. Get us something. Get
right,
us
man.
Something,
bro. Nah,
get
yeah. us something. Nah, absolutely. All right. It's about that time, and we're about to get into our kicking segment, man. For this week, man, for Can I Kick It, man. So, I mean, we have, like, maybe, like, about a good sneakers on this, you know, checking out the Street Fighter collection, though. But I just want to inform y'all what a lot went down on the drama side. Right. So, first up, starting off with punk-ass Nike. As usual, Nike always doing something. We love Nike, though, but y'all always be fucking up from time to time. And I feel like, y'all done messed up big time this time. So, now, Nike has officially banned customers from the employee store due to excess shopping. So Nike sent out a letter saying Nike policy states that it revoked discount shopping privileges at any time, including an event of an employee or a former employee, beneficiary, or guest pass holder fails to comply with any Nike policy. As a result of your past shopping behaviors, Nike hereby informs you that you are no longer allowed to shop at the Nike company stores. As Nike, we a consistent and fair approach enabling access to the Nike product and the rules around to what do we do with Nike. Proud of what we have. It helps us to do the right thing the right way. So please refrain from attempting to gain future access to Nike company stores or any Nike beneficiary list moving forward. Upon any attempt to use your gain access may permanently ban you from a Nike affiliate process.
So was this just to clarify, was this like a person just directed at one person, or was this as a whole?
I want to say when they're saying customers, I feel like this is as a whole, because for one, and I've been trying to get to the employee store in Portland, Oregon for the longest. Shout out to my boy Merv. Merv, we know you're going to make that happen for me. But I think the reason why they put this statement out, because you got people that are going to the resellers that's going to the employee store and bulk buying. And that's the problem. Y'all bulk buying, and this is my issue. If y'all seeing these people come in month after month after month bulk buying, shouldn't you guys take a picture and be like, hey, you're no longer welcome here? Instead of trying to punish everybody, punish those certain people that y'all are allowing in the store to come in the store and bulk buy. Because with the employee store, if y'all don't know about the employee store, they get everything from the U.S. or certain things that's also allowed. So, like, say, for instance, a pair of Jordan 3s came out here in Las Vegas, and they didn't sell out. Some may go to the outlet, but the majority of them is going to go to the employee store where it's half off. Shoot, cut off. So you're coming up. Like, for real, I didn't hear many stories of people coming up at the employee store.
Man.
Like, for real. Man. But the issue is, again, y'all letting these resellers, sellers coming in and just bulk buying.
The shoe game as a whole has been so trash. I remember when I worked for Nike and when I worked for Champs, right?
Uh-huh.
In high school and a little bit outside of high school.
Uh-huh.
You know, I had access to all.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I bought my kicks. I wore my kicks.
Mm-hmm.
If I buy kicks, I still wear the kicks. At this point in my life, I'm like, I'm not paying reseller prices for shoes that I know are way cheaper than what I'm paying for already retail.
That's a fact.
So
that's a fact.
The resellers have definitely screwed up the game.
Oh yeah,
big time.
Oh yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I've
actually witnessed people come in when I worked at Nike.
Uh huh.
Because I was at the Henderson outlet. So I've literally witnessed people come in and say, oh, man, they got all these shoes. Let me buy all this shoe, this one shoe, every size that you got. Walk out with 30, 40 pair of shoes at a discount, and they'll buy it because now they got the little store discount, uh-huh, plus whatever discount.
Right, right, right.
And they're going to go and resell it. That's really when it really started getting
when it started getting out of control. But I'm just hoping with this issue that Nike that's having, hopefully they fix it, because we spoke about this a couple of episodes ago, where how the mother that was head of corporate working and her son was using the Nike account card, buying up all the shoes, man, and then posting them on his Instagram. Man. Like really posting them up on his Instagram. So Nike, I'm still a fan regardless. I'm still a fan. But like for real, man, y'all
get it together.
Get it together. That's more of the story. Get y'all shit together.
Get it together.
Get it together. Like for real, man, because this is getting way out of hand.
Out of hand, man.
Like
first of all, wear your shoes, people.
Real.
Like at the end of the day, wear your shoes. Like, I get it. You trying to make a little extra buck, but at the end of the day, you ain't making it. Like, I remember back in the day when I was, I sound old as a mug saying back in the day. This ain't even that long. This
right, 2007. It's not.
I remember getting my shoes at a discount.
Oh, yeah, right? Man.
I remember buying, those Galaxy Kevin Durant's that came out All-Star weekend?
Yeah, those are nice.
Those shoes were $95 retail.
Nice.
I got those shoes for $65 with my discount. I'm mad. I never would have sold those things. I'm mad because somebody stole them joints. Somebody stole a lot of my shoes when I went away to college. But those
bastards.
Shoes, them same shoes, I remember looking up on StockX maybe about a half a year ago. $800. That's ridiculous, bro.
Just wear your shoes. No, that's crazy. And even if we could talk about further, I remember back in like 2011, 2012, where we're going to Nike Town. We're seeing Jordan 1, Shadow 1 sitting. Jordan 5 sitting. This shoe sitting. That shoe sitting. I didn't see the surges or the change until when it came to 2013. No, I say 2013 because 13? I remember when I tried to go get the Royal Ones, and I remember it was a crazy line at Undefeated. And at Nike Town, just for the Royal Ones, I was like, "Damn, Jordan Ones are popular again." And then from then on up,
I can tell you the only shoe that I actually stood in line for, right? Because I had to stand in line for it because my boss was like, "Yo, you can't put these to the back for yourself." Because I ain't gonna lie, I used to be like, "Yo, these coming out, I need these."
Right.
And when the brand new shoes came out when I was at Champs, we had to pay full price for them when they were still that first week. So, if I really wanted them, well, I'm putting them things right to the side. Now, the only shoe I really stood in line for was the Anniversary 11s, them all-white joints.
Mm-hmm.
Anniversary 11s, I stood in line for those.
Oh, yeah.
I had to have them.
I definitely feel that. Man. Hey, you know what's so funny, though, since you're here? I mean, we can talk about it, bro. Like, a few of us went on some shoe misses together. Remember we went on that mission to get the Olympic Sixes for Drew?
I was mad because we went on a mission to get those for him.
Boy.
And I really wanted them. And then, remember, I was going to buy them, too.
Yeah.
And the cat in front of me bought the last size 13. And I was like, come on, man. Because they only used to put out, like, big size shoes, 12s, 13s. We only used to get small runs. So we'd get 2 13s, 4 12s. So if you 11, size 11, 10, 9, that's why y'all always got the shoes. Because
that's a fact.
Big fellas, we can't wear Right. They only give us so many demos. Right. It's like, man, we went on a whole lot of revenge,
bro. Y'all don't understand though. But yeah, man, Nike, hopefully y'all get this taken care of, man. And get it together and get it fixed. Next up, man, Reebok did a collab with Capcom for Epic Street Fighter collection. So with this collection, we're seeing different type of designs on the upcoming Street Fighter capsule collection, compromising both footwear and apparel of each item of the fan favorite video game. Of the some are classic quad, classic slides, the Nano X2, the Insta Pump Fury 95, the Zed Kinetta 2.5, and the classic slide arrives in different colors. The Nano X2, from different colors, and on the Nanos, the pair of game training modes of training screen for the remaining pairs. Each pay homage to characters Ryu, Chun-Li, Cammy, Akuma, Zangief, Dacian, and lastly, the range of the Shaq Attack representing the champion edition of the Street Fighter arcade game. The terminal items of the lineup includes of graphic tees, hoodies, and sweatpants, and shorts. So be prepared to see this coming out at the end of the year, and also in the beginning of January, though. But honestly, Street Fighter, one of my favorite games. But this collab with Reebok, terrible.
Give me the slides, though.
Look, I'm with you. Give me the slides, and I'm not even gonna lie. Give me the insole.
Is that from the denim joints?
From the pumps. Give me the insoles from the pumps, and I'll put those in another shoe.
Yeah, man.
Like, but
they need to go back to the lab with this one,
bro. Reebok really dropped the ball on this one.
This could have been a legit release.
Yes,
that could have changed the game, especially with Adidas going through their issues with Kanye West, and then you got Nike dropping all this fire. Like, Reebok always seemed to be in the middle of those two for the longest.
Yeah,
they borderline on. Are we going to be in the background with Puma, or are we going to be in the big dogs with the big dogs?
Yeah, yeah.
And this one, y'all not with the big dogs, y'all. Like,
not at all, bro.
I can't see myself wearing none of those except for the slides.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Yeah, definitely the slides, man, because, I mean, the pumps, terrible. The X2s are terrible. The Nettos
is cool.
Yeah,
They look like Miami Heat joints, but yeah, man. They all right. But I wouldn't wear them.
Yeah, man. Me either. Because I mean, okay, you have all the characters, and then you only did one shoe that was really dedicated for the champion edition. And if you was being a kid in the 90s, of course, Street Fighter was like one of the greatest games ever, next to Mortal Kombat. But Champion Edition was that one that everybody played.
Everybody
played. And like, for them to drop the ball on this, I was like, man, you got to be kidding me. So we gave y'all an in on seeing what the footwear is like, though, but they haven't released the apparel yet. So hopefully they do some justice on apparel. And if they do, y'all can bust those out with some simple Reebok classics or something. Something simple. But with these, nah, bro.
It's a mess.
It is a mess. Very, 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 very a mess, man.
This is
terrible. All right, last up on our Can We Kick It segment, Nike and Adidas are cutting production back by 30-40% started in 2023. Feels like an oversaturation of sneakers as of late. Well, it looked like the brands of Nike and Adidas are cutting back production in the near future. According to APN, sneaker brands have let manufacturing companies know they'll cut production by 30-40% coming this summer of 2023. Retailers and customers won't feel the effect of the reduction until 2024, according to experts. Chinese COVID restrictions, as well as Adidas and Nike pulling out of Russia due to the war in Ukraine, are main catalysts in the decision that threw the retail economy of US and Europe has grown in 2022, and the brands to be expecting decline in 2024. Production in Vietnam and Indonesia has slowed down to operating 3 days a week, and the utilization rates of Vietnam factories falling from an average to 82 to 84% down to 61% since October. You know what? I'm just going to be honest with y'all. Y'all know why they're cutting the product back? Because this is fine. Let's just keep it real.
Let's keep it real.
China out there, all these shoes is being made in the same factory.
Same factory.
And let's just keep it real. The replicas are looking a little bit better than the authentics.
To be
and
honest
they're selling
you.
Them for a cheaper price.
But check this out. To be honest with you, they're not really replicas, bro.
They're not.
They come from the same
company. The same company.
Molds.
Yeah.
They have all the same stuff. All it is a grade B,
or
C.
Yeah. Because back in 2005, 2006, like what you said, you worked at Nike. I worked at Nike in 2006. I remember getting the Silver 14s, same shoe, but they had it on the box.
And it's
B grade of the shoe.
Yep.
They didn't care. You're still rocking it. I done seen so many B grade Jordans from 2006 to 2008. Yep. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
Not to mention, what they really doing is, okay, let's take down how much we putting out, because first of all, they keep putting out the same shoe
over and over and over.
Same shoe, different color. Half these shoes y'all putting out is half of what we don't want anyway.
Correct.
So a lot of it's
correct.
Sitting. So at that end of the day, now you got the resellers that's trying to get their money off of it, and they can't. So now it's really sitting.
Right.
So
right.
What they want to do is, oh, supply and demand.
Man, yep.
Let's pull it back.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say, hey, this is how much we giving out, but we're going to charge y'all a little bit more. So expect to see them Nikes go up a few more dollars in price.
Yeah, because right now, Jordan 1s, there are, what, I want to say, 180 right now.
I remember when Jordan 1s used to be 120 or 100 bucks, bro.
Shit.
And this was
I remember before the pandemic, shit, I was paying about 160,
130.
Like a good, decent price. And then in the pandemic, when I had got the Pine Green 2.0s and the UNC to the shot, I paid 160 for those.
Yep.
After the pandemic, whoop, shot right on up.
And the problem is, stop giving us these same shoes, man. Like, can y'all go back through the vault? Give us some 20s.
Give me some 15,
some
16,
eight,
some
17. 16, 17.
17s, man.
You know me, I love the 17s. Give me the 20s, though.
Bro, too.
The black patent leather.
Yeah.
Give me those shoes that they could
put out.
That they
but they're not, because the only shoes they're always been putting out, they're putting out just 1 through 14. Some of us actually care past the number 14.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hello, we're here.
Fire 19 lows that I loved, and they were comfortable.
We're here. So once again, Adidas, Nike,
Get it together.
So that concludes, our segment of Can I Kick It? Of course, there was a lot of drama going on, but you're definitely is going to see the pictures that go up. So y'all can let me know. Let us know if you guys are really feeling the Reebok and Street Fighter collab. If you are, let us know in them comments. So, but also too, before we get into Check the Rhyme, again, thank you for listening. Go ahead, rate, subscribe, leave a comment on the audio side and on YouTube. Subscribe to Lace Rhymes, you know what I'm saying? And also subscribe to the Dog Money Podcast, like one of the best sports podcasts that's out right now. Awesome. Him and Money Marv, they're doing their thing over there. So go ahead, subscribe to Lace Rhymes.
Absolutely.
And subscribe to the Dog Money Podcast. How you doing?
Dog Money, baby. If you smell that grass...
No, exactly. All right, let's get into it. Check the Rhyme. We know every time when December comes, you're barely getting any releases, though, but I'm not going to lie. These last week and even the week before that was pretty good. Mm-hmm. We had SZA, and then this week we had got Absol, but prior to Absol.
Super crazy.
And we did a review on that last week with my boy Jacquez, so y'all can check that out on YouTube.
Yep.
But this week we had good albums from Absol.
Yep.
Alchemist, and we're going to start with the UK native, Little Sims. No, thank you. Y'all always talking about...
I love UK artists, bro. Yeah, me too. They're different, dog.
Yeah, they're different. And then y'all always talking about, where the real females at that's rapping and that got bars. Well, here you go. And we've been reviewing Little Sims since her early on projects from 2018-2019. So she just recently released a project called No Thank You. You know, her being the UK, you and her being a UK native, the sound is different, you know. And what I like about it, it was short, simple, and sweet. 10 tracks, getting to the point from, you know, the track listing from Angel, Gorilla, Silhouette, which is one of my favorites, No Mercy, X, Heart on Fire, Broken, another good joint of mine, Sideways, Who Even Cares, and even Control. And Lil Sim's been doing it for a minute, and I just love how she switched from different sounds. She could give you that hip-hop sound, yep. And also, too, she could give you that alternative sound, too, yep. As well. And still flow. Still flow.
I felt like this was an alternative. It fits the Christmas time.
Yeah.
You know, it's real vibey, real yeah. chill, real relaxed. But you could tell the girl did her homework.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
She got bits and pieces of styles from, like, Lauryn Hill.
Hell, Missy, yeah, yeah. Oh,
all
yeah.
All these other female artists. Mm-hmm. And she did her homework. And I think that might be my favorite.
Oh, Gorilla. Oh, yeah. No, yeah, yeah. Gorilla. No, yeah, Gorilla. Yeah, this joint right here. Yeah, I just like it because, like just gives, like a little sympathy. And then just with everything that's going into it.
The production on that joint was... I was like, oh yeah, okay.
Right. My art will be timeless. Like, it was just crazy. Be very specific when
you
talk on
who the best is. How can I address this? I feel like you need a big old
right.
Like
it was just crazy.
It would be live.
Yeah, it would
if
be.
It was live.
Live, yeah. But I'm yeah, definitely. Yeah. Just crazy, bro. Just super, super crazy, man, though. But, Like what I said, y'all always say, oh, there's no rappers. So, again, I'm going to just put this out here. Lil Sims ain't the only one. If you don't know about Lil Sims, check her out. Check out Lil Sims. Check out Tierra Rack. Check out Rhapsody. Check out Vel the Wonder. Check out No Name. Check out Queen Nilong. Check out 3D Natty.
3D Natty? Yeah, see,
they are out there.
No music, but
her bars are heavy.
Her bars is killing. Yeah. Just about anybody. Yeah. I put her up against anybody.
Right. And even one of my favorites, the duo from Chicago, Mother Nature.
Yeah.
You got the Bay Area, Blimes and Gab.
Yep.
Like, there's so many out there, but you guys need to give them a chance. And again, here at Lace Rhymes, we're here for it. We're here for all of it. We're here for both. Like what I said, we love the fuck shit, but we also like the bars, too.
And you know what I can say? As a listener to the show,
uh-huh.
I'm not a real true, I wouldn't consider myself a true hip-hop head. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm an R&B head.
Right.
However, listening to the show, I always get new music, and I be like, yo, they pretty cool with it. And I'm like, okay, let me add to the arsenal.
Oh, no, yeah, so you have to.
Y'all
yeah,
do
you
a great job over here
oh, man,
about
man.
Giving us out new music
man, thank
and
you.
Stuff to listen
thank
to.
You. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, man. I appreciate that. Appreciate that, man, though. But, you guys, if you haven't checked out Lil Sims, go ahead and check out Lil Sims. Like, I promise you.
You
like,
won't be disappointed. It's real.
You won't be disappointed at all. All right. Next up, man, we got the California native. And I swear, this dude never miss, man. Never miss. Alchemist, man. The Alchemist sandwich, bruh.
You've been around.
Bruh, this project was fire.
You know, I didn't expect, because the Alchemist, he normally has a sound that you'd be like, oh, that's the Alchemist.
Mm-hmm.
However, this album here, it felt more East Coast vibe, like, to me.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'm wrong, but it was certain points in the album where it was like, okay, I could feel a little bit of that West Coast soul.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah.
It had a lot of East Coast
oh, yeah.
vibe in it.
Oh, no, yeah, absolutely, so, absolutely.
I think that joint with Schoolboy Q
was yeah
might have been my favorite.
Oh,
joint.
Clip in a Tray. Okay,
yeah,
I like
one.
The Clip in a Tray, and then another one that I definitely like was this one with West Side Gun and Conway Judas.
Yeah,
Judas was hard. This was hard. Yeah. Like this was hard. Man, this one was dumb. Hopeless Romantic was dumb too.
Yeah. I mean, as a straight listener,
right.
It's a good album.
Oh, yeah, man. Like, definitely an album.
The joint with
oh, my God, yeah. That joint with Sauce P was crazy, though. But going back again, this album was short, simple, and sweet. Ten songs, 30 minutes. Easy to get through, though, but...
It's a cool, let me cruise in the car.
Right.
Relax.
Right.
Let me just put something on real vibe. Like, it's really.
Right.
It gives you that Christmas time chill.
Chill. Oh, like, yeah, absolutely. It really do. It's like, weird. Like even like if you ain't put your Christmas tree up, you can put your Christmas tree up while you got your little Douce, Henny, or a cognac on the rocks while you putting the tree up, whatever, whatnot. Though it just have that vibe, though. But vibe. Like what we said, though, man, Alchemist, to me, He's a top five, top ten producer of all time. Easy. Like easy. And his sound never...
I'd probably put him top ten.
Yeah. No, yeah. His sound...
I gotta go through that list.
Yeah, no, yeah. His sound never disappointed him. And you'd be surprised for, like, people that he didn't work with. He didn't work with some of your favorites. Kendrick, Cole, Snoop. And for me, one of my favorites... I really love when he works with Currency. Like him and Currency
him and
be
Currency
having
a
have
mix,
like literally home, like yeah the best like the best music come out when them two are together.
Currency he don't get enough credit either, bro.
Yeah,
that's
he
what
don't.
You need to do a.
Oh no, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh no, yeah, it's coming. Like, yeah, Currency. I call him a most known unknown.
Man.
Most known unknown. Like for real though. But this Alchemist Sandwich project was just amazing. Going from the checklist, first Dean Martin, Judas, Hopeless Romantic, Massacre with Styles P, Big Sight, Rey Mysterio, and another thing I love, like how like when he be hooking up with the Griselda people, I love their wrestling references. Like
yeah.
I love that. Yeah. Like I really, really be enjoying the wrestling references from them. Rey Mysterio, Roman Candles, Mac 10, E. Coli, and then of course the last track, Clip in a Tray with Schoolboy Q. So like this project was just dope from beginning to end. Like, and you guys won't be disappointed at all though. So I highly, highly recommend you guys to check out Alchemist, the Alchemist Sandwich.
Definitely.
Now, last but not least on this list, the moment we all been waiting for. He's been gone for 6 years. And he finally came back to the scene. And once he came back to the scene, I loved everything that he was doing. Him doing interviews, him going on a press run, him just really just speaking his truth about just what was going on with him. None other than Abso. Finally, let's get into this. Hurry!
He's talented.
Super, super talented, and I'll go
one
on
of
to,
my favorites. Of
no, yeah, and I'll go on the record and say this for everybody that knows me. They know I'm a huge Kendrick Lamar fan. Do I love Kendrick Lamar? Absolutely.
Yes.
But when it comes to lyricists, I feel like Abso is a better lyricist out of the whole group. Absolutely.
Yeah.
He is. Because his wordplay, if you listen to from his albums, from his mixtapes, Long-Term Mentality, Control System, Do Without Will, he is the type of person he is going to make you think.
Yeah,
and he's spitting
his
bars.
Definitely gonna make it.
Yeah, like for real. Oh man, but this album, man, 18 tracks. I loved it.
I consider this soulfully eclectic.
Yeah,
that's a big one.
Yes. yeah, no, for real. But what I loved about this album too as well. Not only he's giving us bars, Abso is stepping out and doing the mainstream hits too as well. And I that's what I loved about this album. Like it's a balance. Like not only he's giving you the backpack rap, but he's giving you stuff that you could play on the radio too as well.
Joint number three is that joint.
Bro, I mean, we can get into it. We're not even gonna go into the intro though, but I feel like this
intro was live.
Yeah.
It was
really, the intro was live, but this, the report card, it sets the tone of the album. Like
honestly, the intro sets the tone.
Yeah,
me.
That.
Like,
yeah, oh, no, okay. The intro was dope though, but when I got to this, I was like, oh my God. I was like, Don't go so hard. No, don't report a car. I was like, that was tight. And then, like what you said, right after that, we get in the Hollandaise. Another one.
This joint gotta be a single.
Oh yeah, this yeah, joint, I get, yeah, I can see.
You gotta let that ride a little.
No,
bit.
Yeah.
This joint right here, when it dropped, I was like, yo. Okay.
Right.
Get up off my dick. Don't talk my shit. Let me show that. How I feel for real. These niggas ain't ill. They ain't got no skill. They ain't got
hey,
no
he did that with this one. And then not only that, another one. This is one of my favorites, too.
Oh, with Joey Badass?
Oh,
like,
yo. My God.
I was like, yo, okay.
I was like, yo, he's bringing it right now.
Even Joey. I was like, all right, Joey. I was like, Joey. Where you been?
Right, and this just sounds so fun. I can hear this like this song being like on a kung fu movie or a song.
It's kill or be killed, not kill or be healed. Fake is the new real. I wanna say what happened to hip hop, but then I be nagging. I wanna say you niggas woo! Whack, but then I be bragging.
And then he dropped this as a single. I love this joint too.
Fuck out of my face. Oh man.
Seriously? Then the video.
I can see Marcus jamming.
Right. And the video of this is just amazing. Like, just amazing.
You ain't the homie, this ain't
like,
for you.
Like, he did
ain't
this one.
This ain't for you. You know what we came to do. Hey, you man. Know what we came to do.
Look, I'm in a league of my own. Y'all need to leave it alone. I'ma just eat everything. I'ma just leave you the bones. Call it an even exchange. There ain't no need to explain.
Then of course... another one. It's just this album. It doesn't let up.
To give you the good feels and he give you the deep stuff to give you the feel
too. Yes,
I love this style right here.
Yeah, man. Me
like,
too.
This that thinking music,
right?
I gotta do better.
I played this when I first heard this.
I gotta do better.
I had this on repeat because I was like, yeah, this is a good song right here.
Oh, man, absolutely. And I mean, it doesn't let up. Wild Side with Janine Aiko, Art of Seduction, Bucket, which is one of my favorites.
Man.
Go Off, all three of them snap on that. Him, Russ, and Sean snapped on that. Yeah. Like, they really snapped on that. Fallacy, Herbert, Church on the Moon. And it be like that with Sir.
That joint with Sir, though.
Fire.
I wish he would allow Sir to get a little bit more of that. I was like, I was waiting for it.
No, yeah, me too, man.
It was there.
Yeah, man. But the reason why like I'm happy about his return is just that just lets you know, like, he wasn't alone. And what I mean by alone, like hearing him saying that he had writer's block too, the same way Kendrick did. Mm-hmm. It was so mind blowing because you had a lot of people even this year was so like, oh, TDE not doing nothing, oh Dreamville, they're doing this, they're doing that. But I'ma tell you guys, and I'ma say this as from a fan and from a standpoint, I love Dreamville. Don't get me wrong. But when it comes to marketing and calculated moves, Dreamville don't know how to do that. TDE
they
got that.
Get a little better with
yeah,
that for sure.
Yeah. Dreamville had to do better with that. But TDE, they do this very, 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 very well.
To not compare, like, as far as talent to talent, like, both of them, their rosters, they have some amazingly talented artists on each roster.
Yeah.
And I feel like the more they put out, the better. Like, Abso, this will help him get his shine, especially with Kendrick removing himself. From TDE, somebody got to take up that mantle to keep TDE going.
Yeah, and what I love about this, too, and he was just saying in an interview, and he set the record straight, they're all still cool with each other.
Oh, yeah, of
course. And I love that. I love that. Love that about that because people was trying to like, oh, like he's not rocking with them. Like, no, bro, they
it's
all
about growth.
Yeah, it's about growth, and they all came on together. Will we see them on a song together again? Yes, absolutely. Yes. But right now, it's about Soul, and what I loved about Soul, how everything that he overcame with depression, how he said he jumped off of a roof and literally almost died, like literally almost died, and. Him just explaining him going out, trying to go out the same way his ex-girlfriend did. So, and what I mean by his ex-girlfriend, if y'all not fans of TDE, his first album, Control System and even like a lot of early Schoolboy Q stuff and a lot of Kendrick Lamar stuff before SZA came into play. And I'm just going to be honest, it was Absol's girlfriend, Alori Joy. She was the one that was doing all the vocals and a lot of the stuff on their songs. And that was his first love. And she jumped off a building and killed herself. So him, you know, going through his depression, going through suicide and everything, him having a writer's block because how he was saying he's been rapping since from 15, and him and Q, J-Rock and all of them going through this journey together. And again, him mentioning Mac Miller, and I'm going to say this and I'm going to keep on saying this. Guys, if Mac Miller was still here today, Mac Miller was going to make that jump to TDE. He hung out with him a lot. And for to hear Absol speak on Mac the same way Schoolboy was speaking on Mac, and the same way Soundwave and all the in-house producers was talking about them, they're calling Mac Miller the fifth member of the Black Hippie Crew.
And before you get too far and too deep, mm-hmm. I think what this album was a mix of, let me show you my growth,
yeah,
but let me give you my story.
Yes.
And unlike Kendrick's was, let me give you my story. Let me give you where I've been. You know what I mean? Absol was a mix of, let me give you where I've been, but let me give you where I'm trying to go.
Go, yes, you know? Yes, yes.
So it's all about growth. The biggest thing is that it's important, and I think it's really important to shed a light on, especially going into a new year. This is going to be, what, your last pod of the year, right?
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How it aligns up on the, I guess, on the calendar.
Mm-hmm.
But the biggest thing that I would say, takeaway-wise, is realizing that these people are human.
Right.
The biggest thing for us as a generation and what they're doing is they're making it easier for us as a generation, because we are the generation that we're with them. Mm-hmm. We are the generation that we're always told to, hey, suck it up.
Right, right, right.
Don't show no
right,
feelings.
Right.
This and that. And not to get on some, you know, none of that. Like, but it's important. It's very important this year. If not never, it's important to start taking care of yourself mentally just as much as you can physically.
Mm.
You know, it's important to say that, hey, I'm not okay, and have somebody to outlet to.
Right.
You know, if you're not okay or comfortable with having a therapist like Kendrick was saying, and like me personally, I do have a therapist.
Yeah, ain't nothing wrong with that.
If you're not comfortable with having a therapist, have an outlet, because somebody needs to hear, and don't be shut in and say, hey, oh, man, you know, you matter. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
At absolutely.
The end of the day,
absolutely.
You matter.
And absolutely.
Their art is going to give you, you know, what I noticed with a lot of them, Jhené, Absol, Kendrick, a lot of these artists, J. Cole, a lot of these artists are now on this wave of, let me show you that it's okay for us to be vulnerable.
Yeah.
It's okay
I'm
for
with
us
that.
To tell us
yeah.
to show our feelings. It's okay for us to, and what we're going to do is put it in a cool way and put it in music so
yeah.
you can feel comfortable.
Yes, absolutely.
To vibe out and feel
absolutely.
Your feels. And you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's okay.
No,
so
yeah.
I thought this album was great.
Yeah, me too. And absolutely. It's great.
It has a lot of replay value,
just
like Kendrick's did.
No, yeah, absolutely. Like, I love, like what I said, it's a balance. Like, very, very balanced beginning to end. So, I mean, I'm very excited for it, man. Like, Ab, like, you really did that. And now I'm mad because now I got to reshuffle my top 10 for the end of the year. So, now I got to put this somewhere.
I don't know if you can put this in the top 10 right away. I mean, it just came out at the end of the year.
I mean, but it's still...
You're going to act like the Grammys now at this point. You're going to
No, but I mean, it's
got
at the...
albums that's been out all
but
year.
But I mean, it's at the end of the year. And I mean, people... I mean, you get some of those albums where it's all like, damn. I'm all like,
yep.
Yo, like... It's growing on me, Harvey. Like, one of those scenes where it's all like, yo, like, I have to put this in there, though. But I mean, just think about it. And not only that, though, too, before we get into our classic corner, though, this was a great year for TDE, because for TDE, we got Kendrick's album,
yep.
we got SZA's album,
yep.
and we got Absol.
Yep.
So, like, they're getting the ball rolling, and I feel like now it's going to be Absol's turn the same way a couple of years ago we saw it was finally J-Rock's turn.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah. But I love how everything, it's how strategic. How they moved and how they did everything, though. So, man, I'm telling you, like, please, Winter Break.
Check it out.
Herbert, you're not going to be disappointed from this one. Out. Like I'm guaranteeing you. Absol always been a top-tier MC. Like, for real, though.
Press play.
Yes. All right. It's about that time. We're about to get into it. It's Classic Corner, baby.
And now for my next number, I'd like to return to the classic.
And you know what, though? I'm very happy about this one because this is my main man, Chubb's pick for Classic Corner.
Been my pick.
Yeah, been your pick. But, I mean, let's go into it. 2007. This don't need no introduction.
2007.
They thought it was cool to burn crosses in your front lawn as they hung you from trees in your backyard.
That was that album
they
this year.
They thought it was cool to leave that you year, thirsty and stranded. Katrina. He thought it was cool to carry a gun in his classroom and open fire at Virginia Tech Columbine. Stop Woo. The violence. They thought it was cool to tear down the projects and put up million-dollar condos. Gentrification. They think it's cool to stand on the block hiding product in their socks making quick dime bag dollars. They think it's cool to ride down on you in blue and white and unmarked cars, busting
man.
You up.
Man, there's no introduction, man. We just gonna give y'all a sprinkle just a little bit by little bit by little bit. By little bit by little bit. Because, I mean...
If we could break down those walls to set you free.
Ooh. This album was ahead of its time.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely ahead of its time, man.
This album would have fit perfectly in this time.
Right. Perfect. I mean, another Perfect. One. Another one. I mean, we could just keep going.
This album has, literally, you push play, you let it ride.
Right, you let it ride.
I've let this thing ride countless of times. To me, right. This album is in my top five of albums.
I'm not mad at it.
The coolest nigga top five. What? The coolest nigga 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 what?
Lord, please have sympathy. Ever give my young history. Ask the coolest nigga what? The coolest nigga what? The coolest nigga what? Another fan favorite.
This joint.
Repeat. I know it. Repeat. I have to listen to this at least once or twice every single week.
One joint.
Right. For your mind. Let's go to sleep in Paris. I wake up in Tokyo. Have a dream in New Orleans. Fall in love in Chicago.
I love her. And I hate to leave her lonely. Ring, ring, went the iPhone. It was my homie. He said, let's hit Japan. If we can make them jam, we can make 100 grand. Spend it in the south of France. Nothing further. I jump, grab my go-yard truck. Got ready to walk it out like Unc in my John Lennon chucks. That's when I heard murder. You're killing me, filling me with sorrow. Sunrise, goodbyes, and missing you tomorrow. I turn to see my dream love. Supreme queen, Nina Sting.
And another one. Another one.
Dedicate. Go watch was cold.
This one right here.
High definition was cold.
Tell my homie with the drink.
I saved my life.
Nah,
I mean,
cold. Right.
He said, I write what I see. Write to make it right, don't like what I be. I'd like to make it like the sights on TV. Quite the great life, so nice and easy. See, now you can still die from that, but it's better than
not. Oh, yeah.
Like this song was probably the deepest song on this album. This song is fit. Like, this album fits this age of music now with the Coles, the Kendrick.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, this song right here, like, put me in a place where if you ever heard of people saying, like, oh, man, this song really helped save me from where I was at in a place.
Uh-huh.
This is that song for me. Like, no joke.
Oh, no, yeah.
It's super deep.
No, it is. It's, like, mad deep, man.
And the girl on there, Sarah Green, her voice was so...
Man.
And then it goes down when you really listen to the album, and it goes down. Like, this album, to me, this was one of the last storytelling albums until you have your Kendrick Lamar's and your J. Cole's, honestly.
Yeah.
To me, the reason why I picked this as a classic corner is because this resonated with me. I remember 2007. I was going through a whole lot personally.
Right.
I used to have, this is still when you had CD players.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, CD players.
That's wild to think about.
Yeah, CD players and MP3 players.
You still had MP3 players and CD players.
No, yeah, bro, that's for real.
I'll never forget I had this green Sony that I had, and I bought this album. Mm-hmm. Put this joint, that green Sony was one of those skip proofs.
Right.
So if it flipped over and anything, it didn't do nothing. So I had this. Put that CD in. I used to catch the bus to work. This is when I was working two jobs. this is right out of high school, into college. I was having some issues with my health-wise.
Right.
And this album really got me through a whole lot. So I would wake up, we talking about 3 a.m., to get on the bus to go up to work at Starbucks at Summerlin. At the, what's that, the hotel, Red Rock.
Okay.
Put this joint on, walk into the bus stop. Get out of the bus stop, walk into the back to the, get to work, go back to the bus stop, going to Champs on the next bus. But this album, to me, I don't feel like Lupe got enough credit or gets enough credit for this album. He was way ahead of his time to me because everything that he's talking about in this album is now what people talk about.
Oh, no, yeah, absolutely,
so
man.
2007, 2020, 2021,
2022. Yeah.
All those years. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So for him to be ahead of his time, can you imagine that if he put this album out in the height of all that Trump stuff, all the stuff that was going on, all the hate that we was getting, this album probably would have went platinum.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
At that time.
Oh, yeah.
Because everything on this still resonates today.
Bro, it's fire. His
storytelling is amazing.
Yes, it's fire.
Like,
no, it's fire. And then not only that, though, too, looking at it right now, like, you know, and like what you said, if it did, it would have been, you know, platinum. It debuted at 15 on the U.S. Billboard 100, selling 143 copies in its first week, and the album debuted as the number one rap record and remained for 9 weeks. As of 2022, the album now has been certified platinum by, you know, the RAA, and at 2009 Grammy Awards, the album was nominated for best rap album. And like what you said, it's just
top five album for me.
And I'm not mad at that. I'm definitely not mad at that, because like now, in retrospect, and we're in 2022, this album just aged so well. I mean, from the tracks from, you know, Dumb It Down, again, like what I said, Paris, Tokyo. I literally have to listen to that at least once throughout my week. I have to listen to that because, like what you said, that song is just, it's just a vibe. But just from everything that, from what he's doing, and then, you know, from what he's bringing to the table, it's just great. It's just, like, you know, just catapulted, like, you know, from, like, beginning to end. Because, of course, we had got Food and Liquor. But, I mean, when we get to The Cool, I feel like The Cool was just his turning point.
The Cool was the turning point.
Man, like, cool it was absolutely a turning point, you know.
And Food and Liquor was cold. But The Cool, man, The Cool was something so different.
Yes, different.
Like every very, very song different. You could push play and then you could feel every story in the song. It was like the perfect mash of old school, new school, future school. Like it was almost like he was looking at what was going on now and saying, like, let me put this out now for them to listen to now.
Oh, no, yeah, like, absolutely.
You know?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely, man.
I don't think he gets enough credit.
No, yeah, no, I definitely agree with you on that, man. Like, so, like, with this album, man. So, Chubbs, man, I thank you. Like, you know, this pick was just very, 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 very amazing, man. Like, you know, so, you know, reviewing The Cool and, you know, hear us at Slaves for Rhymes, reason, like, You know, we do the classic corner. We have to give these albums, you know, their flowers, and they're just due. And we have to remind the generation, like, hey, like,
do your homework.
Do your homework, man. Like, for real. Like, really, really, really do your homework, man. So, I mean, man, we coming towards the end, man. And I just want to say, man, I enjoyed this with you, Brody. Oh, like, for real, man. This was fun. This was definitely fun, man. You know, enjoy everything, you know, from shooting the breeze with you and everything. And honestly, too, we're getting along and everything, though, because, you know, he got on that Dallas. And everybody know I'm Bang Bang Niner Gang all day, you know. Like, really, like, so we love each other, though, but it's really like some blood and Crip war. Red versus blue. But again, though, I just want to say just thank you to our listeners. Thank you for everybody that's just been rocking with us from day one. And also, too, just want to shout out and just say thank y'all for subscribing, because as of today, Lace Roms has reached 100 subscribers on the YouTube. So I just wanted to say from the bottom of my heart, like, thank you guys for supporting. Thank you for tuning in from everything that we do. And again, you can follow us on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, and even on our YouTube page. Tell a friend that tells a friend that tells another friend. And also, too, y'all go follow Dog Money Podcast. They're on Instagram, Twitter, SoundCloud, YouTube, Apple Podcasts.
We give out football bets, basketball bets, what you need.
Tell a friend that tells a friend and tells another friend. And before we get out of here, I just want to shout out my road dog, Nikki. We always still continue to see you love and life and positive vibes, man. You are definitely being missed here. So
definitely missed.
Yes. So until then, man, this is your boy, Skeeter Steve. This is my man, Big Chubbs. Lace Rums. We out.
Peace. Much love.